Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm so excited. I just want to say this. I'm so excited because I have to tell my story of this. Cynthia is my first guest. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
I am so excited to tell the story about how I met you and also maybe bring some humor to it because that's how I am. I'm so excited. First of all, you are amazing, a celebrity in the Woodland Hills Valley, Conejo Valley. You're a celebrity. I'm just going to say this. You're a celebrity. And that's what I thought every time I saw your name pop up. So a little bit of background of how I met Cynthia, and then she is going to talk, you guys. It's not just going to be me. I promise. If some of you don't know, mommy Facebook groups are the key to having a small business, being a mom locally. I didn't even know they existed until I had my daughter. And even then I was like, she was 3 months old. I had no idea, but I was like, how do you promote your business? And I didn't have the funding to just market, you know, and pay and stuff. And everyone's like, Facebook market, Facebook mommy groups, this, that, and the other. And I joined every single one I possibly could. And on some days you could advertise for free or every Friday or once a month or whatever, whatever. So as I progressed and as I helped people, blah, 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 everybody's asking for an organizer. You get, if somebody asks, let's say 45 people are recommended, and Cynthia Montoya's name would come up all the time. It was, if there was 40 people, I would be like two or three. She'd be like 32, and then there'd be like Joe Schmo. And I was like, who is Cynthia? Who's this Cynthia? This is so, wow, she must be so popular. So I would go, I clicked. After a while, I kept seeing it. I'm like, this lady is a celebrity. Everyone is recommending her. And clicked on her page. I was like, wow, she's amazing. She's so cool looking. She even looks cool. And anyways, one day, two years later, randomly, I get a message from this rock star, this celebrity, this amazing woman who everybody had nothing but fantastic things to say. And she's like, hi, I'm Cynthia Montoya. You don't know this yet, but I'm a rock star. And I'm going to go back into, and I don't want to tell all your story, but I'm going to go back into her passion, or maybe what she did before was interior design. And she was going to kind of transition, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to bore you with that. She could do that. But I was like, holy shit, Cynthia Montoya, this rock star of the organizing world, this cool, just, I didn't even know her, so cool. And I was like, please let me take you out to lunch. And we talked, we kind of partnered with like a transition from some of her clients and this, that, and the other. And she had apparently, you know, maybe also saw my name pop up, and it was really exciting. And had lunch and we've talked, and she's just awesome, you guys. She's so awesome. And I want to say this too. Her brand, her name of her company, okay, you know what? I can't tell everything. I got to tell the story, but I can't tell all the good stuff.
I mean, you can. I'm okay
with
it.
I want to hear your voice because it's great too, not just mine. I'm sick of my voice. So is my husband. Okay, start by you telling me a little bit about your business. You tell me a little bit, and then I'll tell you the funny part, and then I'm going to let you talk the rest of the time.
Okay. So first of all, I want to say that I think you're my biggest fan. So that was a really great intro for me, because I don't think I've ever been so flattered in my life. So thank you for all the kind words. I know it's very heartfelt, and that means a lot to me. But honestly, I think it's just that my name got out there. And so people would refer me a lot for that type of work. And so, yeah, I mean, okay, so I guess I can start with me. I did go to school for interior design, and I have always pursued that ever since I finished my education. However, it was always in tandem with another job I was working. So I worked for my parents, who had a subcontracting company. So I worked for them for a very long time, managing their crews and working with teams of people and contractors. So that was a really great introduction into the construction world, which is what I work in so much now. And then I stopped working for my parents. I kind of took a little time off while I had a baby. And then I still pursued design, you know, on the side. And then after my daughter was about 5 years old, I was working at a little tech startup. And I decided, you know, I really need to go back to my passion, which is interior design. I always love it. I always kind of walk away from it like, eh. But really, they're always drawn back to it. And so I took the leap about 8 years ago to go out on my own. And that's when you and I probably connected, right around then or a little bit after. But, you know, in growing your interior design business, it's really based off of your portfolio, which I'm sure you can relate somewhat to that. In, you know, what you're doing is so functional, and what I'm doing is also very functional, but it's driven by beauty and design. And so to get in someone's door, you have to show them your chops and show them what you're capable of, even though their home may not look like that because they actually want to use their pantry or use their space, which isn't always conducive when you have those like beautiful kitchen design, beautiful kitchen organization and things that are beautiful to look at, but not as easy to work in. And so, so while I was building my design portfolio, I still had to pay the bills, and I am a single mom. And so I think a friend of mine was like, you know, this Marie Kondo has come out and she's, talking to people, and you could do what she does because you do that to everyone around you all the time, which is funny because I was listening to your first episode, Jennifer, and but I related so much because you said that you, when you were younger, you'd go to friends and like organize their house. I was like, oh my God, good. I wasn't the only one who was a psycho. I know. I'm like embarrassed, but it's true. I would do the same exact thing. I had this one friend who was like especially messy, and we loved spending time together, but I just couldn't in her room. So I'd say, listen, I'm coming.
I had that same friend. She's probably the same friend.
No, there's a lot of these out there. That's why you and I are in business. But I was like, yeah, I'll come over if you promise to let me organize your room and clean up for you. You know, that was the agreement. So I've always been a little nutty too. We have that in common.
Yes.
And so anyway, you know, as I was doing organization, which was for me paying the bills to get me to my goal, I was building my design business. And so then after a few years of kind of juggling both and converting some organization clients to design clients and able to build my portfolio, which honestly takes years in the design world because some renovations and construction projects take that long. But also, and I tell people this all the time, you only see like, I don't know, 10% of my work online. There's 90% of work I'm doing for very happy clients who you'll never see their home because it's not that it's not like show worthy, but it's not like, you know, we're not going in with a camera crew and doing photo shoots and everything. It's not worth that level of effort because it's a lot of time and it's a lot of money to do those. And so building a portfolio takes a lot of time. You could be completing a lot of a lot of projects that you're still not taking pictures of. So it was about that time where I was like, okay, good. I have some portfolio pieces and my clientele was growing. And that's where I was phasing out of organization. And like you said, I was, you know, being referred so often that I had a lot of, I still have people who will reach out to me and say, I saw your name all over. And so I'll just kindly refer them out because I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I was like,
but I still love it. And I actually have one client in particular who wants me to do everything for her. And so she moved recently. So I went in and did all her pantry organization for her because she just wants me to do everything for her.
Sure.
And so that, therefore we do that. And I love it.
But you've built that great relationship, like where she just loves everything you do. So she's just like, I know it's not your day to day, but just please do it. I have people that do that too. They're like, do you want to like organize my bills? And do you want to come to my office? And I'm going to have some lawyer stuff, whatever jargon that is. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I love you.
I'll help you.
So let me ask you this. You didn't say, I want to know when you started your organizing business, and I know you were, getting into the interior design, was it always the name that you had of your business?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the name.
Or did you just do that for interior design?
No. That's actually a really good question. I believe I did it. I believe it may have come. It was kind of, you know, a progression. So no, I wouldn't say I hit the ground running with the name, but somewhere in between organizing and designing, the name came. And it's funny because people often think that the name of my business, which is Urban Gypsy Styled, that it reflects on the style of design where people imagine boho, anthropology. And so they think, oh, I love boho. I love that style. And honestly, the name is actually more the functionality of me. So when I was thinking of the name, I was trying to think about like, what do I feel like when I'm working for a family? And I kind of feel like a gypsy because the truth is when I get hired, I'm really heavily involved in the family life, the home life. And I kind of move in mentally, you know, like I get in there, I start taking measurements and I'm immediately just like thinking of this family and how they function and who's in their home. And, you know, when I'm working on a project for months and months, sometimes years, I know all the nannies in their home and their grandparents and their nieces and nephews, and you know, family comes and stays from out of town, so I meet them. So I honestly feel like I'm part of the family. I'm kind of like moved in, and I let myself in and out as I'm working, and helping contractors, and I just get so comfortable, and I feel like right at home. And then we pack up and leave when it's over, and it's like I'm out of there. But I still go back and I still, you know, have relationships with my clients, but it's such a shift. It's like I'm there and then I'm not there.
Yeah. And it probably feels like, you know, a little loss, like, you're like, not that you're not talking to them, but that day to day, right? And you're in someone's home and it's very vulnerable and it's very, you know, for you, it's a little different because you're making their house, right? You're designing a look for them. You're making their house look amazing. The organizing is more people feel embarrassed. You know, they feel like they've, you know, a different spectrum. You want it to look great, but when you walk in first, usually it's a shit box. Not always, but sometimes it is. I'll be honest. It is not good. It's not good sometimes. But for design, I mean, you have just like a blank canvas of just fun, I feel. And the title of your name is why I was kind of tying into that is, to me, the word gypsy, people cannot use that word. Only certain people can use that word. And you are one of those people that can say gypsy. And I was actually telling a couple people about this a while ago when I first met you. I'm like, she has the coolest name, Urban Gypsy. I didn't know it had styled at the end until a little bit ago, but I would just be like, Urban Gypsy. Like, people cannot say they're gypsies or have that vibe of a gypsy. Not that you're a gypsy, but just like that vibe of like just this free, like you're just a blank canvas of life. I feel like that's what it is. Just like when people try to have a boho look, you cannot pull off a boho. Not everyone can pull off a boho look where they have like wheat in their hair and they're wearing a long skirt and they're wearing, you know, they're talking about flowers. And I feel that you can pull off that kind of just like free vibe. And that's one thing that I think gravitates to, because so many people have told me, you know, oh, Cynthia's name, even now, they'll be like, oh, a couple people used to use you, but you kind of gave me their information and I still use them. And it's wonderful. But they, but they'll be like, oh, yeah, this, she doesn't do it anymore, but Cynthia, and I'm, she's so nice, or I talked to her, or whatever it was, in the beginning of kind of when we first, you know, started partnering together. But you just can pull off that vibe. And I think a lot of people want to have that vibe, or they want to have that feel, and you just can pull it off, and a lot of people can't, especially a boho look. That's like also when people try to have bangs, you know, they try to have bangs and you see a celebrity with bangs and you're like, you look amazing, I'm gonna do the exact same thing. It's terrible. And I am one of those people. I got bangs and I shouldn't have.
Well, you know, one of my strong suits, I believe, is, and I always lead with an intuitive design is what I refer to it as, because you can tell me everything about you and I want to be boho and I want to look like a gypsy or whatever. But I really like to listen to people when they talk. So I'm kind of taking it all in and hearing what they say, not just about themselves, but about their lifestyle and about those that live with them. And so I glean a lot from that. And so my job a lot of times is to help families develop their style and to become their version of whoever it is they want to be. And so a lot of times, you know, I'm really trying to get people to resonate with the things in their home and the selections we make. And one of the biggest challenges is when people are chasing after a look versus after what they like. And it's almost impossible to help people who aren't tapped into who they are. And it's kind of like a pursuit of authenticity when I'm working with people, like, who are you? So I can make this home reflect you. Because I think the most, and you'll know because you go into so many homes like I do, but you can always tell when you walk in a home, if someone knows their style, if they're in tune with who they are, their home may not be decorated like top tier, but it's so comfortable and it has this vibe in it that you can't get from a designer. You really can't. It really has to come from the person who lives there, and each home is unique and has their own identity. And so thank you for, you know, saying I'm a great gypsy.
You can pull it off. Vibe. Your gypsy vibe, and just like your whole vibe is just very free, and it just is not. You know, I've met designers too, and I tried to do that for a while. I thought I did. I didn't. This was a long time ago. But I've met and talked to people, and you just have this. You're just, even like talking, you're just so. It's such a personal thing for you, but you're just like a free canvas. Like, and I love that. And I don't think people can pull that off, and I think that's why you're so recommended. I mean, I don't know, like, typically how many clients do you have at a given time? And do you have a partner, a business partner?
No, I don't have a partner. I have a few girls that work for me, but I've never had a business partner. It's really nice. I have such amazing girls that have worked for me through the years, some who are no longer with me, but are still really good friends. At any given moment, I would say we have about like 10 to 12 projects happening simultaneously. Wow. You know, they're all at different levels of involvement and at different points in the project. Some we may just be starting and getting measured and kind of getting the ideas going. Others may be in full swing construction and remodeling. And we have others that are like done with remodeling and we're waiting for like a few final items to come in. So it's a pretty big balancing act, especially because I work with a lot of contractors. And so we're the design arm for a lot of construction companies in Los Angeles. And so I'm working alongside those contractors, their timelines, and then their crews as well. So it can be a little, it can be a lot, actually.
Yeah. Well, I see, and just to piggyback what you said, as I go into houses, a lot of people are gutting their houses right now because obviously the market is crazy and they're like, we would rather just put the money back in this house because we can't get out of it. And the deadlines and the pushback. I mean, I have clients that, you know, we couldn't do their kitchen because, and it's been like 2 years and they still haven't finished it because of pushbacks and stuff. So I'm sure that's frustrating and hard for you because that's all you're dealing with. I just go in and then pretend like I didn't hear it when they say they're frustrated. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go.
I know. Call me when you're ready.
Let me know.
I'll be here. I know. I love that point where you're like, call me when you're ready.
I know. I'll talk to you later.
I'm usually the problem solver. Yeah. So I'm usually not the one that says, call me when you're ready.
Exactly.
They are usually like, call me when you figure it out. Okay.
Okay. with a smile.
So okay. Yeah, with a smile. I mean, it's been quite a transition from, through the years, but it's really fun to like growing a business is like an adult game, like adult version of like playing life, the real life version. So it's kind of, you know, owning a business is so, so eye-opening and it's so enlightening and teaches you a lot about yourself and your communication style and what to improve. And so I'm always learning and growing and always trying to improve.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
How much I'm improving, who knows, but I'm trying.
But if I had the bar and I was measuring, it's a lot. I don't know if other people think it is, but I think it's a lot. Same thing, you know, mistakes you made or things you did differently in the past and things I did and I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? And then I look back and I'm like, you know what? That was at the time and I was learning and you know, I see other things and I do my own research too on what's trending and this and that. And people, you know, everything's on social media. So they see it all and they are asking me about it, like trends of freaking containers. I'm like, Jesus, like, you know, before it was just like container. Now they're like, have you seen the glass with the bamboo and the boo-doo-doo and the da-da-da and you can only get them from the depths of the, I'm like, I can check. You find
so
I have to go to the I have to go to Costa Rica and dig out something just to
like damn you Instagram
damn you social media. I mean, I want to ask you a million things, but I know you have a daughter. You also said you have a daughter, so I want to ask you. Obviously, how old is your daughter now?
She's 12. She's in 7th grade.
12 going on what?
Sometimes it feels like she's going on like 80 because she's like, I just want to stay home.
Watch a movie.
TV. Yeah. We're like, you want to go to dinner? No. What? Okay. Your childhood and mine are vastly different. and then, you know, most of the time though, she's just so excited to think about her future in college. Like, her whole goal is to get out the door. She did. I shared with her fairly recently, like, you know, some kids even will like go local to school and live at home. And a few days later, she came back to me and was like, you know, I was thinking about what you said and I definitely want to move away. Like,
oh,
okay,
did you want to shake me directly
what?
In my heart or just poke me in the eyes?
I know. I'm like, well, you know, I'm sure I could come up with a few uses for your room once you're gone. So we'll be fine.
Don't worry. It's done. I'm already mentally.
I can pivot.
Oh my gosh. So your daughter was around five when you kind of went into this organizing / interior design, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Yeah. So what was the transition like for, you know, being a mom and trying to build your business as we know, you know, it's hard and some days are really hard. I'm going to say the last 3 days of my Charlotte life has been really challenging. And I'm sure, you know, just with time and having to cancel on clients because she's not well or whatever, What was yours like? Like, what was the transition like starting your business and being a, you know, a mom? And it's that prime time. I mean, there's always a prime time, but five, right? School and, you know,
yeah,
this stuff.
Right. Well, actually, you're bringing up the very reason why I knew I needed a shift in my life, because I was working at a job that was quite a commute to get there. She was in daycare. And so when she went into school, I decided I want to be the one there to pick her up. I want to take her to school. I want to be a volunteer in class. Like, this may be my one shot at having a child. And I don't want to, at the time I had a nanny who would come, she'd make food, she'd do laundry, she'd give her a bath. I'm like, yeah, but like, I only have a few years of her here. So I couldn't justify it. I wasn't excited about that at all. And so that's what really propelled me and motivated me to be out on my own, is to create my own schedule and be there for her. And I did a lot of things to accommodate that, to make it work, both financially and just like all of the things that you need to do to kind of make it happen. Being a mom is very hard without working. Yes. So then you layer in work to that. I think it's an unfair ask of moms to work. So the fact that so many of us are working moms is like miraculous to me. I'm in awe of moms I meet. I met one the other day her daughter's in school with my daughter, and she has four kids and she works. I'm like, wait, oh. What? How? What?
How do you do it?
I don't get it.
You must be a genie.
I mean, these are superheroes. That's what I said. I'm like, you're like a real life superhero. My goodness. That's unbelievable. So for all moms who work, it's just like you have to go easy on yourself, which, you know, I'm not. I don't.
Right.
But that's always my goal, is to like give myself some grace, knowing I'm kind of doing the impossible here. I don't know. What about you? What are your management, like coping skills for momming and working?
I mean, Charlotte just turned 9. She's 9 going on like 13 with the skincare business. She wants to go to Sephora like every day and this and that. And I joke, but she's still a little girl. She wants mommy.
Yep.
She asks me a lot, especially lately. She's been a little more clingy. I know I welcome it, even though some days I'm like, oh my gosh, like to myself, I'm like, what's changing? Like, but I don't know how they think or whatever, but she's been really clingy and it's been hard. I do have the flexibility, uh-huh, which is nice. And I have said before, I think in my first episode kind of introducing, you know, I worked in corporate America. I was 50, 60 hours a week. I traveled, I mean, many different aspects, but my background is visual presentation and space planning and in retail environments, and I would travel all the time. I can't even imagine, when I was pregnant, I was still doing corporate America, and I was driving, as you know, over the hill, over the freaking, you know, 405. You go, that's where businesses are based. So that's where money is based. It's not in the valley, right? So you have to drive. It's 2 hours each way. And I just remember when Charlotte was 6 weeks old, I was like, there's no fucking way this is going to happen. There's no way. I don't know what I'm going to do, what that looks like. And that's how my story started. But I am able to, take a little bit of time off. Or was able last year to volunteer. I don't know if they're not doing it as much this year. I feel like, or maybe I got booted off the list. I don't know, but or I don't make the cut.
Well, also as they get older, they don't need you as much now. I don't volunteer at school ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. You don't. Yeah, but I want. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, or I'll go to this, or she will. You know, so she's still like really into that. So I really do try. I really do try to be there, because, you know, we always want better than what we had. And I didn't have a bad childhood, but my mom was a single working mom. And so I'm an only child. So, you know, I want to do all the things that my mom couldn't do, like go to school and, you know, bake, you know, make the little treat bags, which, by the way, they got rid of this year because parents You know, instead of bringing a treat bag, they bring in like a pony for their birthday. And then the bar got really high. And then they're like, we only have a 20-minute lunch. So you can't bring in a pony and like have like a chef come for their little birthday celebration. So they just shit can the whole thing. So I don't even get to make the bags anymore. I can't even put the little erasers bought for her Valentine.
That's so good.
David and I have kind of made an agreement, and this is for my own mental being, is I've been obsessed with Pilates, and that's a whole other conversation, but Pilates reformer, and I just started, well, I started
Me too.
2 years ago, and I go to two classes in the morning, and so he does the morning, I get everything ready, but he takes her, and then I'm the Uber driver and everything in the afternoon. And as much as sometimes I'm racing from a client's house or whatever, I really enjoy that. Even though I'm watching her do gymnastics and I'm watching her, you know, still trying to do a cartwheel after $10,000 of spending the money for gymnastics. But it's fine. I love it. I love all of it.
Right.
And art.
It's fine. We love it.
We love it. She's like, Mommy, look. And I'm like, oh, 4 years, we're still... We almost nailed it. But I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah. This wallet is totally open for this. You know, but I love that I get to do that kind of stuff with her. And you know, sometimes I do need David's help, especially if I'm doing, maybe I'm going a little bit further because I have some clients that are, you know, a little bit further out. And I do, you know, I obviously ask him for help, but that's been really helpful so that I can at least get some of my mind cleared for the day and then spend all the quality time with her and, you know, have a weekend off. For a while there, I really wasn't working weekends. And then there's that flip side. I have clients that, you know, they're work from home or sometimes stay-at-home moms. And so they want me there when no one's really there. The kids are at school, whatever. But there's some that actually physically go to work, not just work from home. And so I do...
Right.
I do say yes to weekends, but I try to it was getting crazy. I was working like 7 days a week because I didn't want to say no, but I like doing stuff with her and she loves it and she treasures it. And I know one day she's not going to want to do all the stuff with me. So I will embrace it. And I'm so lucky because in corporate America, this would have never happened, ever, ever,
I know.
Ever happened.
There's always, you know, sacrifices and then there's rewards and you just have to weigh those and make it work for you. And I kind of have done the same, like just created a schedule. I heard years ago from another entrepreneur there, they said something to the effect of like creating a schedule for yourself is the best thing you can do. And that's been true for me. So I try to have a pretty, like a consistent schedule in terms of my days in the office, my days in the field, because it really helps me plan and I can plan to pick up Eva from school and then I can plan appointments even after that, after I drop her off at home. And that's just all a balancing act. And I can completely relate to you when you said like, I couldn't do this in corporate America because when you're doing it, you're like, ugh, like, I can't believe I'm doing all this and I'm running around and I'm in the traffic and it's hectic. But really when you take a step back and you remember what you could be doing. And then I think about people who actually do drive to work every day and don't get to pick up their kids from school till 6:30 or whatever because of all these, you know, obstacles to get home. And it's like, I'm so grateful to be in the position I'm in and deal with the obstacles I have to deal with and still be there for my daughter. And be present and not be, you know, kind of just spending my life in the car.
Oh, yeah,
going
absolutely.
Down to LA to work.
Oh, yeah. It's so crazy. Like, I just, and you're right. I do think about, I have clients that, you know, they pick them up at 6:30 and maybe they still have an after sport thing. So they're going to a sport thing or it's just wrapping up. They pick them up and then it's like bath and dinner and then they're going to bed or homework. You've seen him for an hour and a half. And I'm like, I get to see her a lot more. And it never would have happened in corporate America. And as much as there are benefits, I ran its course. For me, it was most of it being the traffic, but a lot of other factors involved. But the traffic being, it was just brutal. I'm 2 hours. And I remember a time when Obama was in town And I was doing that travel over to like the Gardena area for this consulting job that I was doing. And he was in town and it took me 4 hours to get home and I was crying in the car. And I was pregnant, but I was like, imagine having a, like, I can't even imagine. This is so crazy. 4 hours, I was crying. I was literally crying. I'm like, I'm going to die in my car. This is how it happens. I'm just going to be in the shoulder, yeah, just crying. And I have cried tears of death. So I love it. And I do juggle, you know, if she has more stuff, obviously, later on in the day until 5, then I can, you know, my schedule, I can go a little bit further out of my radius those days. But it is really nice. And I'm so lucky. And I know that as she gets older, it's not going to be. But she's just really clingy right now. And I just want to treasure all that because I know, yeah, my mom always reminds me of what a little brat I was in high school and going from junior high to high school. And actually, the word she used was a little bitch. But I don't believe it. I don't care, Mom. I don't care what you say. I was not one. She's like, you were just like, oh, park on the corner. I don't have a mom. Let me out here. I'm like, what? Charlotte's going to live in a bubble next to me forever. We're going to be connected, yeah, forever.
I'm not like you, Mom.
I know. I'm the exact opposite of you, Mother. So how do you, and I really don't, I don't know your business. I don't know, but I know you have to be busy 90,000% of the time. Just by your recommendations on these groups alone, I know people reach out. But do you do anything special to grow your business, or did you do things that besides posting, like I was saying, on the mommy groups, because I felt that was like a free way to do it. And then this is your target market, right? Your moms want their house and whether it, yeah, was being organized or designed. But do you do anything now to grow your business, or do you ever get like I feel like you're never probably dead, but if you have a slower period of time, do you grow your business, or what you did, tricks that you did?
Yeah. I don't do any forms of paid advertising. Really, I mean, I'm in a networking group, and have been for about 2 years, I believe, with this business. I'd been in some previously, but with other businesses or for other businesses. And no, all my business comes from referrals. And like I said, I do work with a lot of contractors. So, I'm super blessed that they kind of pull me along with them on their projects that they get, and introduce me to their clients. And then I have just referrals from past clients. And I have grown every year since I've been in business, and I haven't really ever slowed down. There's been times where I'm like, oh, wow, now that I'm thinking about it, it's been a few weeks since anyone's inquired about like new services, but it hasn't yet impacted me to where it slows down. It's just that I can sometimes see there's like a lull in new inquiries, but luckily I have a pretty steady flow of business, and so I don't really have the slow down so much. I'll have times that are much busier than others.
Yeah, I feel like you're probably just so busy. And like you said, some of the projects, they're not just ending. It's not like, oh, 1 month and I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
You're fixing and there's a process. And so even though you may not be as busy, I just didn't know if you had any. I really actually, when I listen to you say that you're really good with your schedule of like setting office days and this, I really try to do that, but I have a hard time saying no to people. And that's one of the things every year I tell myself I work on, because I will say to myself, I'm going to make Monday or Wednesday either an office day, right, or maybe go to a part of a networking group. And I could never commit to it because I'd feel like somebody had a fire drill or something was going on that was so catastrophic in the world of, I don't know, in their world. And so I'd be like, okay, sure. And I never committed. I can never commit to it. And so that's one thing I really like that you said that, because you really stuck to it. And I know a lot of people that do. They're like, just stick to it. And I'm like, I know, but then,
well,
I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, especially when there are emergencies. What I found are people are very understanding when you position it like, you know, if I like Mondays and Fridays, I try to be in the office. And so if someone wants to meet on a Monday, I just share with them that I actually am already booked up for Monday. And I really am, because what I do is I schedule my Monday of all the tasks I need to take care of and all the ones that just come in. So I really am booked, and I have to remind myself of that. Because even though I'm like free at the office, I'm not. I have a ton of stuff. And if I don't get it done, that means I'm going to have to do it at night and the following night. And that's what happens to me sometimes, is I'll end up having to work at night, which is very common for me, which, you know, is, but I have to admit, I feel like that's part of the trade-off. So in having some freedom of schedule, that allows me to say, oh yeah, I am going to stop working and take Eva to Barnes and Noble or go to the mall and go shopping. So I'm pulling 2 hours out of my workday to do that. Yes. And so therefore, when I come home and she's, you know, drawing or watching TV and I'm working, I don't feel like, oh, I'm working and I'm home and I shouldn't be working. I feel like, you know what, I chose to take those 2 hours then, and I'm going to fill them now. And
I'm going to pay them back later.
I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the beauty of it. Like, I actually get to do that. Like, that's not, and it's kind of the way you think about it and the way you position it, you know, because sometimes I'll be like mopey, like, eh, I have to work tonight. And then I'm like, oh no, by the way, you took a day off to, you know, go help your family or go travel or go to the beach or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I get to do too much of that. But in the instances where I do take a little time for myself, I'm like, hey, you know, that's the beauty of owning your own company and creating your own schedule and having organization to the effect of like, hey, I know that I can take a little time off today and work on that tomorrow because I'm organized and I have these projects underway and I know what I'm tracking and I don't know. So you have to be disciplined to have some freedom.
Yes, that's kind of
how it is.
Yes, absolutely. I have one more thing that I actually wanted to ask, and then obviously I'm just talking, but we're kind of. I wanted to ask about the being. Do you have? You know what? I don't even know because you think you already answered it. Oh my gosh, I already answered it. I don't even have it. I wrote down some things I wanted to ask you specifically. And I just, you know, because I could just talk forever. And sometimes I feel there needs to be a point. And I just talk forever. I love to talk. And Charlotte loves
to
talk too.
You're so good at it.
My husband's like, I am doomed in this house.
My gosh.
He's like,
that's funny. But
he's
we're not like that.
He's like, Charlotte. Actually, my husband was helping my mom. He went down to San Diego to help her with some stuff around the house over the weekend. And he said something and he goes, which was really nice. And he had kind of promised her and it was like trying to schedule it. And he goes, he's so funny. He goes, wow, your mom really talks more than you. And I'm like, she really does.
Good.
And even sometimes I'm like, mom, shut up for a minute. And I think David must say that mentally 1,000 times to me. And now Charlotte, she's just like, she'll sit on her tablet and she'll be talking to her friends and they'll playing whatever stupid games. And I could literally be like, the house is on fire. She doesn't care. The second she gets off the phone, now I've focused on maybe answering emails or whatever. Then she wants to come and chit chat. I'm like, I had 2 hours to talk to you. You didn't care. Now, and she'd be like, mommy, da 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 da. Remember the time when I was 4? I'm like, oh my.
So because she's an only child, is she good? Like, does she talk to herself?
Yes.
Like, kind of entertain herself.
Yes, and I did too.
My daughter does that too.
Yeah. I'll hear her in her bedroom. Like, she'll be talking to her friends. They do this like FaceTime and they play like Roblox and whatever. Okay. And then sometimes I'll walk by and I hear something, but it doesn't sound like I hear other things like I do, you know?
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, Charlotte, are you still on the phone? And she's like, no. She's just having a conversation. The other day, she was singing a Sabrina Carpenter song, which I had to learn about her. Yep. And I was like, oh, what are you doing in there? She's like, I'm just singing. Okay, cool.
I love that. That's so cute. My daughter does that still. Actually, she does it all the time.
Yeah.
But she's very, she gets so excited about things she's like watching on TV. And so I'll be in the back of the house and I hear it from the living room, like, what? No. And she's just like freaking out or she's like, I'm literally crying, you know?
Charlotte's like, is literally like that too. I'm literally, Charlotte's obsessed now. Do you remember there was a show called Dance Moms?
Yeah.
Okay. All of a sudden, Charlotte's like, Mom, Mackenzie, sister doesn't even want to dance and they're making her dance. And I'm like, is she at your school? Who's Mackenzie? She's like, on Dance Moms? I'm like, oh. And then I'll hear her being like, sister doesn't even want to dance. I'll hear her in the playroom because she's watching
to
it.
Dance.
And I'll hear her go, her parents are making her dance. She doesn't even want to dance. And I'm like, who are you talking to? No, just me. I'm like, okay. And I just have to laugh. I absolutely have to laugh.
I have to keep up with my daughter, like all her characters. And
oh, yeah.
Like, because she always comes to me because she doesn't have anyone to talk to. So I'm her sounding board for everything happening in the storyline of the cartoons. And so I'm like, okay, so he goes with who? And
so oh, yeah. Or she'll follow.
I feel like I'm watching it.
She's following. And I don't know if your daughter did this too. Do you remember that little boy on YouTube? This was a long time ago. They were little. Ryan, remember he would open the toys and he was Ryan and then Ryan's World and then his family got involved and they had like a show and all this and she used to be obsessed with him opening the toys. But now she's watched people open slime or she watches people open now makeup or skincare because she's all about skincare and freaking Sephora. And she's like, Mommy, like Sandy Joe, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, who's Sandy Joe? She was opening up this serum for her face and it was so cool. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know. Oh, please don't make me know. Okay, tell me about
kids.
Sandy
are so like aware of stuff these days, like so knowledgeable and so just know way more.
And her vocabulary, she'll say stuff, and I really believe it's social media. I really believe it's like the YouTube and just how those people talk because they're older, little influencers or whatever. She'll say stuff. She's like, that was really transparent. I'm like, I don't even use that word correctly in a sentence. How are you? And she said it like right. She said it right. It's just so funny to me.
That's great.
I know. I love it. I do love that we, you especially, obviously, you know, we're so lucky. And I know that I do think the word blessed is sometimes a little misused, but I do think we're so blessed. You were able to do exactly what you want to be doing. And it was a process with a child, obviously, a bigger process, but you're so successful and you're so just, I don't know, you just have this piece about you that I've always, I just couldn't believe. I was like, Cynthia Montoya is this like famous rock star. She's always on this thing. And then I talked to you and I'm like, and she's so cool. And she's like, she could use the word gypsy and she's like cool. And, you know, a fantastic mom, all of the things. And I want, my final thing I want to say is, how do people find you? You don't need people to find you, but they're going to want to find you on social or whatever.
I do.
And I want to
know. I always need people to find us.
Yes, yes. You always want to have that, you know, word of mouth. And my business has gotten, I would say probably about 90 to 95% now is word of mouth in the last couple of years. And it's
great.
It's wonderful and referral based. And that's really nice.
Yeah.
And every once in a while.
It's funny because I think like we live in big communities, but they end up being really small when they're online.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, when you talk about like, oh, everyone mentions me, it's just such a small little like subsect of the community. And I think that's one of the things recently, like the world's so huge that just the small amount of people can know about me and keep me in business.
You know,
like imagine if I actually had a reach.
Oh, yeah.
I don't because I don't even need it. Like I only need a tiny little piece of the pie.
I know. I just need a small one.
You know.
I know. It's just me. I just need a small one. But it is. It's so amazing. Yeah. And that is so true that you say that. Like those groups, 40 people would say it. And they're probably the same 40 people every time or 50 people or however many people.
Sure.
But they're those people that are just, they're like your biggest fan. And it's
true. There's some of my girlfriends who have been clients and then become really close friends are some of my biggest supporters and like cheerleaders, you know. So it's really like they're beyond sweet to constantly cheerlead me for years online when people need someone. It's like I owe them so much because those things do make an impact. And as you know, years later can even still have an influence. And so, you know, I think I truly do value everybody who chooses to work with me and I appreciate their business and I am grateful for their business and I want their home to be the best it can be for them. And that's, I don't know, I think that I'm not kind of what you were saying before, I'm not a pushy designer. I don't believe there's only one way to design something. And so I try to make sure people understand that, because they'll say, like, which one, like, what should I do? I'm like, I can think of five different ways we could do this, you know? Like, it's not one right answer. What it is it's a blend of what's functional, practical, what you find attractive as the homeowner and the one paying for it and the one going to live here forever. So I try to use my design sense and my skills to guide them to things that make sense for them. And so each home comes out uniquely different, and each client profile is so different. So that changes the outcome. It changes our selection. That changes what I recommend to them sometimes too. So, you know, I think just treating everyone as that unique customer and client who walks through your doors is like the best way to create raving fans, because you're treating each one as like an individual. And I give them all the same amount of attention.
Yes.
Have really high standards for what I give them to. Like, I don't do presentations unless I'm like, I have to buy into it first. So, you know, when I'm coming up with designs for someone, there's so much that goes into it. So many nuances and things like that. So I try to be very thoughtful, and I think that has paid off in my business in terms of people appreciating that and then referring me, and, you know, just passing the word along that I'm one of my biggest things I get are people will say, well, my husband wasn't a fan of our last designer. That's like a big one I get all the time. Because a lot of designers are like, oh no, you have to do this and it's going to be this.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. You could, but you could do this. Or if you want to save money, because the husbands are always like freaking out
dollar
about the
signs.
Money.
They like, all see dollar signs. Yes.
Yeah. And they see me coming. They're like, no.
Get her out. Get her out now.
So sometimes I throw out tidbits the husbands will appreciate. Like, I can save you money. And they're like, okay, I like her.
Tell me more. You can stay.
Yeah, tell me more. Well, yeah, exactly. So then I'll get the, oh no, next time you guys can just meet alone. Because they always want to like gate, like, hear me out.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, my husband wants to meet you and he wants to, I'm like, I want to meet him because I want him to know I'm not that girl.
Yeah.
I'm not that designer. I'm the one that does listen to him. And that's one of my things I always say to them too, is like, I listen to everyone who's at the table. So don't worry, you'll be heard and your suggestions are valuable. And I love working with everybody. Like, honestly, if contractor, homeowners, if we're all contributing, it 1,000% enhances the design. So by no means am I trying to take control and trying to say this is how it has to be done, because the truth is when you have contractor input on how to improve maybe things I wasn't aware of that we could do, or the husband's coming up with some brilliant plan or engineering, you know, something to make it work. I mean, it's really a collaborative effort between me, the contractor, and then the homeowners. Mm-hmm. And so that's my favorite part, is the collaboration and those who are excited about it, because it really pushes the needle so much further.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely. I get a lot of things, and I've said it before, but the husbands will be like, why are we getting an organizer? Why? We could do this ourselves. And the wife's like, well, it's been 8 years and we still haven't done it. So this is it. And I'll talk to them and be like, listen, you know, it's painless. And if you're in a budget or you're worried, you know, I go fast. I'm, you know, whatever. And 99.9% of the time, it shifts in within 10 minutes. Because it's like, we need it. It'll bring peace and harmony. And also, like you said, I work with what they want. A lot of people just see, and I always use this example because I feel like people, I do not watch reality shows at all. That is not my jam. But a lot of people still watch the Kardashians. Not my jam. But their pantry, they don't even eat the food, but it's like a $20,000, $50,000 pantry. And they're like, oh, I just saw the Kardashians. And I'm like, let's make it work for you. Like, let's make this work for you. And you're not going to get all this expensive stuff and all this. They don't even eat that food. They just smell the air and eat lemons. I think that's all they do. All the snacks, no one's eating those snacks, but it looks good. It looks freaking good. But yeah, I do the same thing. I try to work with what is a reality for you and what is comfortable for you, especially when I'm trying to find storage furniture, if they're transitioning rooms, to make it make sense if they have limited space. And like you said, yeah. I do, even though I'm busy and you're busy, it's like you have this like personal aspect. And I think a lot of people have told me that that's one of the things they feel really comfortable when I'm in their home. They don't feel, I mean, I joke with them after I've kind of read the room. I kind of joke right. with them, or if I've helped them a long time, I'll give them a little razz like, hey, why do you have 412 black t-shirts? I'm not folding all of these. You only get 404 after that. They go, you know, and just kind of mess with them and stuff like that. But it's just, you build that rapport. And I think that's why you're so successful. I think that's why I have a pretty, you know, strong success, and I'm so proud of it. And I know I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all of the things, on top of it being a mom and all of those great things. And I just want to end with, if people want to reach out to you on social, how do we do that?
Oh, yes. Okay. So it's at Urban Gypsy Styled is our Instagram. And then our website's the same, urbangypsystyled.com with a D at the end. So the styled has a D. And yeah, all over Instagram, website.
Perfect.
That's probably it.
Perfect. No, that's plenty, and that's wonderful. But if anybody is interested, and I do, as you know, I recommend you. I reach out to you. I text you, hey, I gave your number. Whether they call, I don't know, but any house I go to, or if they're in the middle of like a disastrous designer, not disastrous, but like you said, here, you want all of these, you know, it is like, I'm like, if you aren't happy, I got the girl. So, and I know you do the same for me, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and I love that you are my first guest. I'm so excited. I could talk by myself
me
forever,
too.
But I appreciate you coming on, and thank you. And I hope it was, you know, it was fun to chat, and we can do it again another time.
This is so fun. You're so easy to talk to. So it's not a surprise that you're so successful in business and why people feel comfortable with you, you know, shortly upon you entering. You're unassuming and disarming, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you for making this conversation easy. I'm not the yapper you are, so
yep.
But you brought it all out.
Good. There's no tears. We didn't have to reach for conversation, and I know that
you got lucky today. No tears.
I did. I didn't have to get a carrot on a string to pull teeth. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and I'll talk to you soon. But thank you for being on today.
Of course.
Okay.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.